More than that. I thought the realtor is just the guy or girl that lists the home. Maybe today you got to give me some advice on how to sell the home because the buyer is less and less interested in putting in their own money, their own time. Maybe they don't have the vision. Maybe they don't know what to do or how to do it. They really want the house as they want it now, right?
Yeah, I call it the new car smell.
The old house. Now that's different because when I was buying my house, maybe I'm looking for that one that needs a little fix up, and so I'll get it for a little less. And I figure, hey, I can put some bucks into it, I can put some sweat equity into it. That's what my son-in-law did when he bought his first home. But today, too many realtors come through and say, maybe, but really today's buyer. Particularly the money they're spending, they want it done now. They don't want it. They don't want to look at it and see what it could be. They want to see what it is now, right?
Yeah, no, correct. And I, you know, with the cost of money, as we all know, interest rates are high, and it's the cost of money.
Right.
The acquisition of any sort of goods, whatever they are, chain, you know, the supply chain, and for that matter, you know, just even getting an actual good contractor that knows what he's doing. It's really tough for a buyer to all of a sudden, you know, tell the poor buyer, do you not see the vision?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great property.
This could be, yeah, if you rip this out and do this and picture this, how it could look. No, they can't picture it. So they don't have the vision necessarily. They may not have the money or want to go get the money at today's interest rates here. And they certainly, as I learned the hard way, can't find a good contractor to do it all for them here. It turns into a nightmare. It turns into a black hole. You're just pouring tons and tons of money into this. Why would I ever want to do that again? I want it the way I want it now. I want the house that fits my vision, my needs today. I don't want to put it together myself later and maybe save a couple bucks, I think. That's the way the buyers are thinking today.
That is the buyers right now. In fact, 68% of the buyer demographic right now is a millennial and a boomer.
Yeah.
Millennials have no vision and no money. Or experience. And the boomers, well, you know, been there, done that. You know, they're like, you know, the husband came to convince the wife, well, honey, we're going to do this fixer again.
Yeah.
He's like, no, we're retired, we're done.
Yes.
We don't want to go down.
And remember how what a mess that was the last time we did it? And it took me forever to get it done, and it was 10 times more than we thought it was, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so now we got a problem because these housing stocks aging. This isn't new stuff going up all over the place here. So maybe the kitchen doesn't meet today's look. The bathrooms need a facelift. The floor plan could be revised. Everybody wants to rip them out into these giant open floor plans, and too many of these houses are cut up into little tiny rooms here. So all of this stuff there, the backyard needs a complete do-over. Something big has to be done. If I, the seller, don't do it, what happens? I don't sell it? It just sits on the market? It's the dog in the market here? It's the paper without
the lipstick. Yeah, no. The dilemma, really, the dilemma's right now in the numbers. In an inventory shortage that we have right now, and a huge demand that we've never had in this county, right? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Why is it that there are properties out there in the high spectrum, the high luxury space, and below the luxury space? Why are we still sitting on the market for 143 days?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane. It's irresponsible. But again, it goes back to what I said earlier. If I haven't said it, there's only three things that affect the sale of a home:
okay.
Price, location, and condition.
I can't change the location.
Not when you are where you are.
Price,
whatever the market can bear.
Right. So what the last sale was.
What the last sale was, correct.
Right.
But condition, on the other hand,
this is a whole different approach to selling a house, meaning I got to fix it up now to sell it. I can't accept I'm going to take a little discount, but I'm going to get out of it right away here. If I don't, it may sit around for a long time, and I need to sell this house because I already bought another house or I'm moving or something here. So I can't afford all that anymore. I, as a seller, even in a hot market, I got to fix these up so that they're as presentable as possible. The condition is something that meets the modern buyer's look. Tell me just quickly, you don't tell me the exact numbers or whatever here, but you're quoting something. And this isn't just the high, I thought this is just in the high end. These are the coastal homes, the global luxury market that you guys play in. It's every price point here.
It is every price point, but I'll give you an example right now. At the end of the day, I had a property that would not sell for 2.5, or at least with the last agent.
Right.
It didn't sell for 2.5, and it was on the market for like 243
days. 242
days,
and these people are saying, hey, this is nuts. Why can't I sell this house?
Yeah, they wanted to move down to that Fallbrook. They had a beautiful big farm. I mean, they were dreaming of what it even exploits.
Right.
And this property, sure enough, had that 80s, 90s kind of Tuscany, you know, it's a 5,000 square foot home.
Tuscany,
yeah, the Tuscany look with the
Mediterranean,
with the yellow paint on the inside. The color is so yellow, it made me want to bring in relish and a hot dog.
Right, come on. We're not doing stand up here today, right?
So, you know, it was like, and you know, the funny thing is, the seller looked at me at first like, well, you're just a realtor. Why can't you just put it on the MLS, put a price point on it, and put a sign out there, and, you know, and then
you talk it up. You tell the vision.
You talk it up, and you see the vision, everything like that. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. I said, well, you know, so this is what it's going to take. This is how much money it's going to take to bring it to market into a beautiful blank palette that, for instance, in Orange County, it's all about the coastal living, the fine
right.
coastal living. So how do you find that? You know, it's light and airy and open
right.
and expansive.
Open. Everything's got to get opened up. Open to the outside, open in the interior, more light, everything. Yeah.
And with COVID, you know, a lot of people are now working from home. So that open expansion
yeah.
and the ability to be in a place that's airy, whatever, it's really good.
And then they need a space for opening, for working, too. Maybe it hasn't been thought out that
correct.
Way.
Correct. Right. So at that point, he says, okay, Roy, so but how much is it going to cost me? And I don't have the money for this. And so, well, that's where the Asari group myself and Elite Elevate, which is a concierge service that we have, we actually front the money, front the cost, bring in the contractors, very high-level contractors, and the design group, and we design a complete scope of work, cost, and timeline.
So now you're not just getting a commission, you're getting what? You become a partner in this property in some sense?
Yes, as this lady told me in calls, but she says, you're the only realtor that has actually put your money where your mouth is,
yeah.
and you're putting skin in the game. You know, I get realtors who I ask them, what do you think my property is worth?
Yeah.
And they give me some bench right, whatever she says. You're the one that tells me you were prepared to buy it from me for $4 million.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to sell for $4 million for 148 days, and it didn't sell. So tell me how you're going to do this. That's how we're going to do it. We believe in the property valuation for sure. You know, I mean, my background is
Realtors, though, don't do this. Realtors just come in. They got no skin in the game. They'll tell you whatever number you want to hear. They'll take a shot. They'll put it on. Take their best bet or their best shot at it. And if it doesn't sell, their listing's up and you go on to somebody else here, much frustrated and having wasted a bunch of time and effort here. You're saying, we'll come out. We know how to sell this house. We know the market. We have the ability to front the money and design it and do the construction in return for which you get what? What do you share in the profit of this?
No, the profit is actually all the sellers. The profit is all the sellers.
My head is spinning here, right? Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this thing. All right, so what do you get out of fronting the money? And
so my partners, Elite Elevate, they're a design and build company.
Okay.
And so they make their money from the design and build fees that they charge the contractors, the general contractors,
right.
which, by the way, are not just your Tom, Dick, and Harry contractor. Every one of our contractors is vetted to have very least 10 to 25 W-2 employees.
Thank goodness, because I'm telling you, most of the general contractors I have, none of them I would ever hire again.
Right. So a lot of that, so because again, we've done over 1,200 homes in the last year nationwide in 13 states.
Wow.
So we operate at scale. And again, if we're the ones fronting the money, guess what? Time is money.
Right.
So the whole idea, well, how long is it going to take? 6 months to build out this stuff? Nope. We operate on a 45 to 90 day max time frame. We just took on this, the 3.7 mil property. We took it on you know, we slid it for 120 days, and we actually just finished it at number 90.
And so what did they expect to see now? So give me a ballpark number. What would you put into a $7.5 million house?
So in this property, this particular property, we put about $468,000 into it.
Wow.
And we are expected to get at least 3.6 or 3.7. We already have conversations in the 3.5 range, which is what we're doing. So when you really look at the rate, 2.5, 3.5, we're already at a mill that the profit would have, more than they would have sold if they sold at 2.5.
So you're telling, am I the only one that's stumbling and stuttering here? I'm trying to understand. A $2.5 million house can't sell. But if I put money into it, it'll go quickly at $3.5 million. People will be lined up because it's something people want to buy.
Yes, they want to buy. You know, it's a crazy thing. In the commercial world, you know, I don't know if you know, there's a process called the value add.
Yes, right.
You know, we
do a big commercial real estate show here with a guy, and he's always talking about that.
So you get 100 doors in a building, and right. 100 doors right now are only giving you 3% cap rate because you're only renting about, let's say, $2,000, you know, whatever, per
right.
unit. Well, you come in and you put a value add into it, improvement. Basically, it's, you know, real estate word for improvement.
Right.
You improve the price, and before you know it, you're renting at $3,500 per month, and you marry yourself at a 4.5% or 5% cap rate.
And so, as our host, Barry Savitz, always says, you know, too many people today, it's all you do the value add as the buyer. I'm going to paint the picture for you, and can't you see how you're going to make more money out of this thing? But I'm not going to do it as the seller. You're saying, no, step up and do it as the seller and prove that this is what you think it is here. You create the value add, and in so doing, you increase the value of the property and cut the time it takes to sell. That seems counterintuitive until you think about it. I'm going to put more money into it, sell it for more, and it's going to sell quicker. And I'm going to make more money, more profit on it. Wow. Okay. How did you decide this? Is this something you guys came up with? Or you partnered with this other company that you found?
No. Again, my background, you know, I got out of the Marine Corps back in '82 from New York, you know, and I decided I'd never go back there.
And that awesome fellow company out here. Yeah.
Yeah, my grandmother said, come back home, you know, and I said, I could be a bum in California. I am. I'm a sort of bum. But, so I started in the mortgage financing business. So for me, the numbers has always been, it's always been about the numbers.
The numbers game.
The numbers game.
How many days, how much, what's the cost?
What's the cost with the ROI, the return on investment, so
right.
with, you know, and so did that for 30 years, raised two families, great, all that fun stuff. Then I decided to start flipping properties back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
When that still made sense.
When it still made sense and everything. And then, you know, the low-hanging fruit went away, bye-bye.
Right.
And then, so all of a sudden, I'm back, and I'm an empty nester, and I'm going, you know, I'm 61 years old right now, but it was about 7 years ago. I said, you know, okay, maybe I should go into real estate. But because my boy said, you know, you're really good at it, you know, Pops, and you know how to bring new product to market, and you need how to sell it, and everything like that.
Now you tell the story.
Yeah, but the retail side of real estate wasn't attractive to me at all.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the myopia of the industry as a whole was not attractive.
Yeah.
You know, the
short-term vision.
Short-term vision, you know, and so I was like, so it makes sense. That's why I said they only turned around and said, hey, Pops, why don't you turn around and just be the better realtor, the better businessman.
Yeah.
With a bigger vision. And that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to take my background as a flipper, as value-added proposition, everything to the public, and bring it and align myself and partner myself up with the sellers, the retail market.
But where do you come up with the money? It takes a lot of money. You got to have the bankroll.
Well, my partners have the bankroll. And they have the at-scale experience of how to deal with these projects. Yes.
And the Rolodex, I'm dating myself, but the Rolodex of contacts of people who can do this quickly, correctly, first time out. The rest of us, I have the dream, maybe I have the vision, and maybe I got the money. But I don't know how to do it. So I got to go find people, and I don't have in my pocketbook a whole list of contractors who can do this. So I find a general contractor who tells me a great story of what they can do and then doesn't show up and doesn't deliver. That's my experience. I don't sound bitter, but I've had too many of these experiences.
Well, you know, that, for instance, even the idea of, like, where's the contractor? And you come, well, I went to the river with my friends, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
We'll get on it as soon as possible.
Or I got another job.
That's more important, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all our contractors in the design and build group that we have and that are our partners, no, they operate on a timetable. Line, design, verb. work, scope of work, and everything. And everything needs to be done by a certain time frame.
And these people will put up the dough. I got to say this again. They'll put up the bankroll. They'll design it. They'll fix it. They'll do it quickly. And then what? They profit from that house.
No, and then they get their money back.
They get their money back.
When we sell the property. So when we sell the property, basically, the my build and design group partners, they get their money.
Right.
They get their money.
Plus whatever.
Nope. They get their money.
Just their money.
Whatever they put into it, they've already figured out what they're doing with their contractors and everything. You know, and in full transparency, yeah, are they, you know, are they charging the contractors? They're getting jobs for the contractors. Is really what's going down to
right.
The big contractors. And these guys
keep them working and steady.
Keep them working steady, right?
So maybe they're doing a little less for them or something here.
A little less or at a premium, you know, whatever the building design group gets a premium dollar. That's business. That's good business.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're still getting, for the seller, they'll say, well, why don't I just go grab my own contractor and do this, and we're back to, you know.
Oh, no, don't, please,
to
sell please,
the first place.
Please don't. Who's on first? I've been there.
So at that point, it's kind of, no, the moment they see the numbers, so wait a minute, you're going to make me $1 million more than I would have made if I sold it at 2.5. My cash on cash return, which is the amount that we did, the build out, 468, and I'm going to make $600,000 more when it's all said and done, or $700,000 more when all the bills have been paid, the commissions and the build out and everything like that. I'm still getting $700,000 above that, which means I'm getting 120% cash on cash return.
And it sells.
And it sells. I mean, if you can tell me where you can get 120 to 150% cash on cash return, I'll go put my money in there.
Boy, I can't be the only person scratching my head saying, where's the flaw in this argument? What's the catch? Where's the problem here? Have you guys just figured out the magic formula that needs to move properties these days and to build a profitable business into this? Are you the only realtors out there who figured this out, that I can't just take this pig and put lipstick on it and hope that it will sell or give it a great story and somebody else will see that and seize it? I mean, what am I missing here?
By the way, first of all, let me correct you. We in the industry don't like calling it lipstick on a pig.
I know.
It's because, first of all, it's not a pig. it's a valid concern.
It's an unattractive property.
Especially in the price point that I'm dealing with. I mean, I'm dealing with $7 million properties, $5 million properties, $20 million properties that have not sold X for XYZ. I mean, yeah, I called the guy from ML Bay who couldn't offload his property for $12 million. But when I'm very direct with him, I said, but do you see what your product looks like?
Mm-hmm.
It is not what a buyer wants right now.
No.
You know, and especially in that price point, what do they want? They want, you know, luxury is not a price point. Luxury is an experience.
It's something you imagine in your head.
Exactly. And it's an experience that you want to enjoy, and you want to just walk into the new Crest Mall.
You just want to walk. That is it more than anything else. I've had so many people. I've never owned a home at that price point. Lots of our show hosts do, lots of our guests do. And at that point, I don't want to fuss with it. I want, this is my dream house. I don't want to see it and have to imagine it when, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe. But I'm a busy guy, a busy person. I've got a lot of things going. I just want to walk in and get that new car smell. That's a perfect way to describe it.
Here. To give me the answer, though, that you want to ask, why is it just me that's coming out with this?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a need there. There's a need, whether it's in the $700,000 space or whether it's in the million or 2 million or above.
Clearly.
There's a need for a product. I mean, you know the old, in the fire departments and the police departments, is they call the wave, the blue and the red wave.
Right? Yeah, right.
Well, there's this wave of boomers.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're getting out.
You and me, both, yeah.
Or whatever it is, yeah, you and me, is we're getting out or we're downsizing. But, you know, they're going to deliver a product. Well, the typical real estate model is, well, there's a buyer for your house.
It's a buyer for every house.
It's every house. I'm sitting there going, that's like looking for a unicorn.
Yes.
Well, what you want to do is you want to provide a brand and a product that does that. And as business people,
that delivers the most buyers.
The most buyers, exactly. The most buyers, exactly. And here it is. I'm actually still getting multiple offers, not because of the scarcity of inventory, but rather because of the product we deliver.
The attractiveness of the product. It isn't just, I'll take it because I can't get anything else. I want this because it's exactly what I was looking for. Wow. I just think this is amazing. I've heard rumors of this out there. I've never met anybody like you that's actually doing this. How do they find you if they want to hear more of this? Is it a hard thing to explain? To you, it seems obvious, but to me, I'm looking for what's the catch? What's the thing I might get? What don't I understand here? And why would I want to do this? But it seems so obvious. My house hasn't sold because it needs updating, and I don't have the money. I don't have the vision. I don't have the talent pool around me to do it. You do. And in so doing, you will earn your commission and then some here.
Oh, and I can go into the end zone, by the way. In the real estate world right now, you have a bunch of realtors who are whining and crying about commission compression.
Completely.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't charge 6% anymore. It's like saying, I'm sorry, you have no value? Therefore, what? I'm going to shoot it straight, and I'll tell you right now where I'm at on this deal.
You really hit the nail on the head because they are being squeezed. All you're doing is listing it, and I don't need you to go on the MLS anymore. I can take it to one of these other ones here. I won't even mention them, but we all know they exist, where I can supposedly list it myself. Not so easy. You got to do all the legalities, and there's liabilities and all sorts of other stuff you're dealing with. But why do I need you if you're just going to stand in there and put it on the listing and walk people through it? And it's a short supply market, so how hard is this to sell? I can sell it.
One of my mentors, Peter Hernandez, used to have a saying, in the absence of value, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, but isn't that the fear of a lot of realtors today? That unless I can come up with some value add, maybe I'm not really worth much anymore here. I'm just a middleman processing transactions here. And yes, it's nice to have a professional do this rather than do it yourself. But what else are you going to bring to the picture here? You're bringing a lot. You're bringing cash, a vision, a capability to upgrade this house so that I make more money, you make more money, and the buyer gets what they want. So one more for everybody. Wow. I think this is mind-blowing here. I think you ready for a lot of phone calls here? Because this is a lot of people wondering, how do I get out of that big McMansion that I don't need anymore here? You know, my kids are grown, and I'm looking to downsize and do something, but I don't know how to get out of this thing. I can come up with two or three people I know like that right now here for you. How do they find you?
Easily. My number, 949-241-6332.
And you're going to answer the phone? Nobody answers the phone.
You know, my ex-father-in-law, which is not considered my father, he used to say, son, there's only two causal reasons for any disagreement in any relationship, business or otherwise.
Okay.
Communication and money. Too much of it or too little.
Wow.
And in my business, it's all about the money, but it's all about the communication. If you're not communicating at all.
I think that's the key. That's why we all look for professionals. And when they don't call and they don't get back to us and they don't do what they say they're going to do, I start wondering, what do I need them for?
You can also go to my website, OsorioGroupOCHomes.com. Osorio.
Spell that out.
OSORIO.
OSORIO. Lots of O's in there.
Group.
Okay.
OCHomes.com.
And you're affiliated with or under
Global,
the?
Under the brokerage of Global Banker Global Luxury.
That's a pretty high end.
It is a very high end. One of the group? Oldest brokerages in the country. It is the oldest brokerage in the country.
Yeah.
And then there, by the way, you can actually see some case studies. We actually have case studies.
Oh, wow.
Properties before and after, the visuals, and we also have the testimonials from the sellers themselves.
So think about this, folks. You're sitting on a property, big or small, especially the big ones, and because nobody knows what a big one's worth. It's whatever people are willing to pay. The comp isn't what's... It's the view, it's their emotion, it's everything else ties in. At some point in time, how do you price high-end homes? It's a feeling, and it's the feeling in the buyer's mind. What do they feel? How much do they want this? How much do they see themselves in this? The less they can see, the less they'll pay for it. And not only that, the less likely they'll just move on until they find what they're looking for at that price point. So you're really giving them a chance. You're actually, as crazy as it sounds, by putting more money into it, you're going to make more money, and you're going to turn it around in a quicker period of time. You're not going to let it sit there, this beautiful home, waiting for that someone who can see the vision and has the money and the ability to execute it. And that might be, how long is my life going to last? I can't wait 2 years to sell this. I've seen luxury homes on the market, particularly up in Delmicosa. Some of these things sit there for a year or whatever, either because they overpriced it or because it doesn't fit the market today. And they don't want to take the time or cash to fix it up and make it sellable in today's world. And that's, I'll leave you with one last thing. My wife and I talk about this all the time. You and I are about the same age. I got a couple of years on here. And I remember my parents lived in their house for, what was it, 30 years, 50 years, 40 years, something. Not once did my mom ever say, hey, let's fix up the bathroom. It's time to redo the kitchen. Hey, let's blow out that wall. Or even buying new furniture or whatever. And maybe they painted it once in 50 years. But whatever they bought, they lived in that house. Everybody did in our neighborhood until they died. Then somebody came along and took the old wallpaper down and tried to rehab it or something here. In today's world, every couple of years, my wife wants to redo the kitchen, redo the flooring, and she watches all these shows, and suddenly I'm like, we just did that 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, but that's out. We got a, whatever the, what was the look, the farmhouse look or something. Now we're, that's gone, so now we're getting more of the white and the grays. And a couple of years from now, there'll be, so I got to keep redoing this thing, not just to make my wife happy, but to sell this thing someday.
And to your point, what's really interesting is the community.
Yeah.
How it impacts the community. So maybe the neighbors don't want to sell, but they start to see what's going on in the community with these properties that have just been popping beautifully.
Yeah.
That it then creates a desire for them to go, well, maybe we do need a refresh.
Yeah.
So, right. And it's like, and it just, before you know it, just starts getting contagious down the community, down the neighborhood, down the block, and people are fixing it up.
I see that in my neighborhood now. People are, as people say, and it isn't just keeping up with the Joneses. They start to see something. Boy, I didn't, that looks pretty nice. I never thought of that. Why didn't we do that? Let's take a look at this. All right. Well, I think everybody should take a look at this thing. I think you've got the secret sauce here. I don't know why everybody else isn't rushing to. I suspect they're not doing it, one, because they've never done it that way, and two, because they don't have access to the capital or the vision or the crews to create this stuff here. I mean, just because you're a realtor doesn't mean you know how to do all the rest of the stuff. You might see the vision. You might know what needs to be done, but can you come in and do it for them? That's what you guys are saying you're going to do here. Okay. I'm breathless. I'm using that out of words, but I'm out of words here. One more time. How do they get Roy Osorio? O-S-O-R-I-O. And the Osorio Group. How do they find you? Just that way?
949-241-6332. Osorio Group. OCHomes.com.
I think you're onto something. I think this is going to become the wave of the future here. I can't see why others won't step into. Are there many or any other people doing this? Are you pretty rare in this space here?
Very rare.
Because I've never heard of it, and I think I'm usually on the cutting edge of everything sitting in this chair here.
My partners are telling me right now that, that I'm the only one that's actually going into the high net worth space also. Because
that's what you think would be so obvious. You know, we did a show for years ago with a realtor, and she said, at some price point, you can't look at the comps anymore. What makes that a $20 million house instead of a $10 million house, or a $50 million, or today a $200 million house or something? Are they just pushing the envelope and see what they can get? Or is there, because they all have the same amenities. They all have a wine cellar and a this and a that and the bedroom. They all have the same kind of square footage. And at some point, up to that point, you could say, well, this is more square footage. It's got more acreage. It's got more something. But at some point, that stops. And what then determines the value of that house past that price point is feeling.
And you know what?
It's
the funniest thing is, some of these top luxury real estate agents, I've approached myself, and I've asked them, hey, I'll partner with you right now. Let's get this moving. Let's get this product moving.
Yeah.
Don't let it stay stagnant. You know, just let's get it moving.
Yeah.
This is their answer.
Okay.
And it's,
I'm curious.
And it's an acronym.
Okay.
Nope. New owner's problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the new owner's problem. I can see what's needed, and I try and tell people, here's the possibility, but that's your problem. That's not my problem. My problem is just to convince you to buy it, take it off our hands. Well, that doesn't work so well. How's that working for you guys out there today? Ask yourself, if you've got a really, really high-end property, it's been sitting for a while, or they're asking you to cut the price, why don't you do the opposite? Why don't you make it worth your price? Why don't you find a way to put value into it? And to make it turn quicker, and to create a win for everybody. The buyer gets what they want, you get what you want, and everybody moves on. Why are we fighting over this thing here? Okay, People would be fighting to get a hold of you. All right, one last time, phone number, and then I'll let you go.
949-241-6332.
Or tattoo that one on your arm if you're thinking of selling a house or you know anybody that's been sitting in a house for a while. There's another answer. If you're looking for another way to do it, there's another answer. Thanks for coming in today and sharing what is, to me, a very eye-opening OC Spotlight today.